It's Saturday morning, the 6th of June, and for the first time all week, the room is finally quiet enough to hear myself think. I've spent these last few days watching something get built, not a model this time, but a whole apparatus around the models. So before I bring you the four things that came in overnight, let me do what I like to do on a Saturday. Walk back across the week and show you the shape it made. If I had to name the week in a single phrase, it was the week the scaffolding went up around American artificial intelligence. Not the models themselves, though those kept coming, but the structure around them, the compute, the capital, and the state. I kept reaching for the same image every morning of a building you can finally see the frame of. Start with the model layer because that's where my mornings began. NVIDIA was simply everywhere on Monday and again on Thursday. I was reading about Cosmos 3. Their open, omnimodal world foundation model for physical AI. The kind of model you use to teach robots and self-driving systems what the world is about to do next. Then, on Tuesday, and once more on Friday, came Nemotron 3 Ultra, a 550 billion parameter open weights reasoning model with around 55 billion active per token. The strongest open weight system an American lab has shipped in a while. Even if it still trails the best Chinese open models on the leaderboards, Microsoft used its Build conference on Wednesday to unveil 7 in-house models of its own, led by a flagship reasoner. And underneath all of it, on Thursday, set the quietest tentpole of the week. A set of new capabilities for GPT Rosalind, the science system. A reminder that while everyone watched the business pages, the capability frontier just kept advancing. Then, the money layer, which is really the spine of the whole week. On Tuesday, Anthropic confidentially filed a draft registration with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the first real step toward going public. That same day, Alphabet announced an $80 billion equity raise, its first stock sale earmarked for AI, and OpenAI made its frontier models and its Codex coding tools generally available on Amazon's cloud. Earlier on Monday, SoftBank had committed up to 75 billion euros to 5 gigawatts of new French data centers. Every one of these is the same sentence written in a different currency. The build-out now costs more than any single balance sheet can carry, so the field is reaching into the public markets and the sovereign-scale investors to pay for it. And then the state layer, which is the thread I think matters most. On Wednesday, the president signed a scaled-back AI executive order, its centerpiece a voluntary 30-day window for the government to examine the most capable models before they ship. Oh, by Friday, lawmakers had circulated a bipartisan draft they're calling the Great American AI Act, which would write a federal AI standards body into law. Running alongside both, there were reports that government officials had held early talks about taking equity stakes in the companies themselves. Washington, as shareholder, not merely as referee. Add the Commerce Department quietly closing another loophole on advanced chips bound for China, and Anthropic quadrupling its Project Glasswing security collaboration to roughly 150 organizations, and you have a government reaching into the frontier from three directions at once, as rulemaker, as part owner, and as customer. That's the frame. Compute, capital, and the state, all tightening around a handful of labs. And here is why I wanted to lay it out before today's stories, because the four pieces I came across overnight are not a new subject. They are these very threads, pulled one notch tighter. The money showing up as an extraordinary compute deal, and as an industry-wide reckoning over what all those tokens actually cost, and the state showing up at the Pentagon, where the very thing that makes American models valuable is quietly leaking out the back, and at the White House, where the security cracks in everyday AI are becoming the government's business. So with the week's frame in mind, here are the four I want to walk you through. First up, the deal that, more than anything else this week, shows you where the leverage in this industry actually sits. On Friday, a regulatory filing revealed that Google has agreed to pay SpaceX about $920 million a month from October of this year through June of 2029 for access to roughly 100 to 10,000 NVIDIA graphics chips, along with the processors, memory, and everything around them. Sit with that figure for a moment. Nearly $1 billion a month to rent someone else's computers. And here is what makes it strange. The buyer is Google. By some estimates, the single largest owner of AI compute on the planet, OPI. If anyone already has the chips, it is Google. And yet, they reached outside their own fleet because demand for their Gemini Enterprise agent platform has run, in their own words, even higher than expected. When the company with the most compute still has to rent more, you start to understand how tight the supply really is. The seller is the interesting part. This is the second deal of its kind in 2 weeks. In late May, Anthropic agreed to pay SpaceX about $1.25 billion a month, also through 2029, to rent an entire data center near Memphis called Colossus One, the cluster that Elon Musk's XAI originally built before it was folded into SpaceX. Google's deal is for roughly half that much compute. So in the span of a fortnight, SpaceX has signed up two of the best-funded model builders in the world as tenants and is collecting billion-dollar monthly checks as a kind of landlord of last resort. The timing is the punchline. SpaceX announced this a week before its stock is expected to begin trading in an offering that filings suggest is aiming to raise around $75 billion at a valuation near $1.75 trillion. Which would be the largest public listing in history. Google, a longtime investor, will hold a stake worth more than $100 billion after that listing, and the two are reportedly exploring orbital data centers together. There is a cancellation clause, 90 days' notice after the end of this year, and a delivery deadline at the end of September for the chips. But strip away the details, and the shape is simple. The company that controls the physical compute can now extract enormous sums from even the richest model labs, and it is cashing that leverage in on its way to the public markets. Moving on to our second story, which is the same theme, money, seen from the opposite end, from the people who get the bill. There was a piece this week with a title I rather loved, "The Token Bill Comes Due," and it documents an industry waking up to a hangover. Uber, we are told, burned through its entire 2026 budget for AI coding by April. Microsoft handed its developers licenses for Claude Code and then quietly revoked them a few months later. And one company, this is the line that stays with you, reportedly ran up a $500 million bill on Claude after forgetting to set usage limits for its employees. Here is the mechanism. Per token prices have actually been falling, but the push toward more autonomous agents means each task now devours far more tokens than it used to, and the new models that landed back in November, Claude Opus 4.5, GPT 5.1, Gemini 3 Pro, made the agents hungrier still, so the budgets written for last year's models simply did not survive contact with this year's. One executive described an engineer who spent $40,000 on tokens in a single month, and admitted he genuinely didn't know whether to stop the man or to clone him. What's striking is how familiar the response is. The Linux Foundation this week announced something called the Tokenomics Foundation, a standards body modeled explicitly on how an earlier movement called FinOps brought discipline to runaway cloud spending a decade ago. The person who runs that earlier foundation put the scale plainly. Tracking cloud costs, he said, is a hundreds of millions of rows a month data problem. Tracking tokens is a trillions of rows a month problem. You cannot just drop that into a spreadsheet. And so a whole market is rushing in to sell companies the gauges they forgot to install. Observability startups, the big monitoring vendors, even routers that quietly send part of an expensive query to a cheaper model behind the scenes. But none of it rests on shared definitions yet. No agreed answer to what a token costs or what it actually produces. Goldman Sachs projects that global token usage will multiply 24 times by 2030, so this problem is going to grow, not shrink. My favorite line from the whole piece came from one of the founders building the tooling. Maybe we have created a steam engine, but we still haven't figured out the assembly line. Third up, we move from the boardroom to the battlefield. And from the cost of building models to the difficulty of keeping them. There was an essay this week by a computer scientist at the University of Virginia with an argument I keep turning over. It opens like this. An adversary does not need to break into the Pentagon's systems. They only need to copy the logic of the public models those systems are built on. The setup is that the American military has gone, as it puts it, AI first. From Project Maven's intelligence fusion to the sensor-to-shooter loops of Anduril's Lattice, the most advanced defense systems are built on top of commercial frontier models from Anthropic, Google, and OpenAI. So America's military edge is, in a real sense, downstream of America's model edge. And that edge is narrowing. The author cites this year's Stanford AI Index. On one major leaderboard, the gap between the top American and the top Chinese models has shrunk to 2.7%, down from 17% back in 2023. The reason, he argues, is a technique called distillation. You train a cheaper student model to imitate a more capable teacher, using nothing but the teacher's outputs. That same year, Stanford researchers distilled Meta's Llama into a comparable model for $600 against an $82,000 training cost. And the open door is the interface. Every time a model answers a query through its application programming interface, it leaks a little of its hard-won intelligence to anyone who is paying. Anthropic recently accused two Chinese labs, DeepSeek and Moonshot AI, of using millions of calls from thousands of fraudulent accounts to systematically extract its Claude models, letting firms founded only in 2023 reach frontier-class behavior at, by Anthropic's estimate, a nearly 90% discount. And here is the bind. Hardware export controls, which America has leaned on since 2022, can slow the flow of chips, but they cannot stop the flow of model outputs. So the author's proposal is an unusual one. Stop guarding chips and start manufacturing time. Embed government liaisons inside the labs to see what is coming months early. Negotiate a brief exclusive window before each model goes public and build a fast pipeline to turn that head start into a refined military tool before an adversary can finish cloning the previous version. In an era of distillation, he concludes, the way to out-compute is to out-refine. And for our fourth and final story today, we stay with the government and the frontier, but we drop down from grand strategy to something almost embarrassingly simple, the kind of security hole that should make everyone building AI agents a little nervous. On Friday, the outlet 404 Media reported that attackers had been stealing Instagram accounts, and the method was this. They simply asked Meta's AI customer support agent to relink the accounts to email addresses the attackers controlled. And the agent did it. The only real hurdle was using a virtual private network that matched the genuine owner's location. Think about how mundane that is. No clever prompt injection, no jailbreak, just a polite request to a helpful agent that turned out to be a little too helpful. One attacker took over the long dormant Obama White House account and posted pro-Iran messages. Others grabbed valuable single word handles, presumably to resell. And the point a sharp piece in MIT Technology Review draws out is this. We have spent an enormous amount of worry on the idea of a superhuman hacking model. Anthropic has one, called Mythos, that it said in April was too dangerous to release widely. But the real damage here came from the opposite direction. The AI was not the attacker, it was the soft target. The researchers quoted are blunt about why. One compares an agent to an elementary school student who just wants to please the teacher. Another reduces it to a law of the field. Security and utility always trade off. An agent helpful enough to be useful is almost by construction helpful enough to be tricked, and the defenses they recommend are deeply unglamorous. Hard-coded guardrails, a mandatory security question before any sensitive change, real red teaming before you ship, rather than after. What ties this back to the week is the timing. In those very same days, the Pentagon's chief technology officer was telling a summit that AI companies bear responsibility for what he called the weaponization potential of their models, and pointing to a brand new White House executive order that lets companies volunteer their systems for a roughly 30-day government security scan before release. So the cracks in everyday AI agents and the government's growing claim to inspect them are quietly becoming the same story. Meta says the specific hole is now fixed, but the lesson the researchers leave you with is larger than any one bug. As we wire these eager agents into things that genuinely matter, the boring work of bounding what they are allowed to do is the security frontier that counts. So that is the shape of it. Four stories, and really one idea threaded through all of them. The bills for this build-out are coming due in dollars, in strategy, and in trust. Google renting compute by the billion. An industry discovering what its tokens truly cost. The Pentagon watching its model edge slip out through an interface, and a customer service bot handing over accounts to anyone who asks nicely enough. The capability frontier gets the headlines, but this week and this morning, the real story was the scaffolding, the money, and the institutions closing in around it. The full digest has the rest, including a good stack of the week's papers if you want them. It's Saturday, so I'll rest tomorrow and see you Monday. Until then, keep reading and stay curious.